Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. We have 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northeast winds, 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the northeast that go along with those winds, 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells, 7 feet at 15 seconds. So we're continuing that sort of pattern we've been in over the past few days of those northeast wind waves and westerly swells that could make things a little messy out there on the water when those local forces and faraway forces come together from different directions. And today we'll talk about the deadliest shipping disaster involving a U.S. flag vessel in more than 30 years. I'm talking about the 2015 sinking of the El Faro, a cargo carrier, in a hurricane in the southern Atlantic Ocean, and what that investigation into her demise reveals. It's kind of a chilling analysis of why that ship sank. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 7 inbounders, 4 in the Astoria Anchorage, and 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the articulated tug and barge rig, the ATB Sound Reliance, a Crowley Maritime-owned vessel. She's arriving from Ferndale, headed for Portland, carrying refined petroleum. She'll pass Astoria around 12:30 p.m., arriving in Portland around 6:30 p.m. And by refined petroleum, probably gasoline, jet fuel, possibly biodiesel, something along that line. The Westwood Olympia is our next inbounder. She is a Weyerhaeuser-owned ship. She's a dark Kelly green with kind of a boxy gantry crane look a rig on her deck. So she looks a little different from the usual kind of black-hulled ships that come into the river. She's arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Longview, and her cargo could be newsprint. She'll be passing Astoria around 12:30 p.m. and arrive in Longview probably by about 4 o'clock this afternoon. The car carrier, the Prometheus Leader, is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She has brand new Subarus on board. She's a very high-sided, blocky-looking, unusual-looking vessel. So she'll pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m., and you might see her in Vancouver by about 7:30 this evening. The Ionic Storm is arriving from South Korea. She's headed for Kalama's anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat at Kalama. She'll pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. That would put her in Kalama around 11:30 p.m. The Isara Nari is arriving also from South Korea, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She'll be eventually going to the port of Portland to pick up soda ash. She'll be passing Astoria around 6:30 p.m., maybe at the port of Portland, by a little bit after midnight, early Thursday morning. The Gert Oldendorf is arriving also from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be there by about 6:30 p.m. And the Mount Hikorangi is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Longview to pick up pet coke. She'll be passing Astoria around 8:30 p.m. That would put her in Longview by about midnight. If you can see the river from where you are in Longview, you might see her running lights going under the bridge around midnight. In the Astoria Anchorage, the CF Crystal is headed for Kalama to pick up corn, soy, or possibly wheat, or some combination of all three. She'll be leaving around noontime. That would put her in Kalama by about 5 p.m. The Lucky Star is headed for Vancouver to pick up wheat. She'll be leaving around 11 p.m. from the anchorage, arriving in Vancouver by about 5 a.m. on Thursday morning. And the Poyang and the Amos Ace are still awaiting orders. And our outbounders, we have the IVS Naruo, leaving Longview carrying soda ash around 6 a.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound by about 9:30 this morning. The KM London is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat around 3:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9:30. The Clipper Tenacious is leaving Longview carrying wheat at about 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8:30 p.m. The Global Aglaia is leaving Kalama carrying wheat at about 5 p.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. The Berge Fan Zipang is leaving Portland with potash on board from the port of Portland. She's leaving around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound then around 11 o'clock tonight. And the ANSAC Moonbear, leaving Portland. ANSAC is an acronym for American Natural Soda Ash Corporation, so you can guess what her cargo is there. These ANSAC ships are dedicated to soda ash, and that's all they carry. They must belong to that company or be under serious contract with them because they always come in and pick up soda ash. Leaving around 6:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 12:30 a.m. on Thursday. Grand Venus is our last outbounder leaving Vancouver. She's a car carrier with Subarus on board, heading out around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1 a.m. on Thursday. Well, I want to share a story with you. It's a tragic story. But it's a true story. It's from the GCaptain website. It's about the sinking of the El Faro, which has been under investigation since it happened in 2005. So I'm going to read you some excerpts from this story. The deadliest shipping disaster involving a U.S. flag vessel in more than 30 years was caused by a captain's failure to avoid sailing into a hurricane despite numerous opportunities to route a course away from the hazardous weather, the National Transportation Safety Board announced during a public meeting on Tuesday. The 790-foot cargo vessel, the El Faro, was en route from Jacksonville, Florida to San Juan, Puerto Rico, when she sank on October 1, 2015, during Hurricane Joaquin, taking the lives of all 33 people on board. During Tuesday's meeting this week, the board voted to adopt the probable cause, which cited the captain's decisions and the shipping company's inadequate oversight among numerous contributing factors. And this is a quote from NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt. "We may never understand why the captain failed to heed his crew's concerns about sailing into the path of a hurricane, or why he refused to chart a safer course away from such dangerous weather. But we know all too well the devastating consequences of these decisions." The ship departed Florida on September 29th in 2015 and had a range of navigational options that would have allowed it to steer clear of the storm that later became a Category 4 hurricane. The captain consulted outdated weather forecasts and ignored suggestions of his bridge officers to take the ship farther south and away from the storm, ordered a course that intersected with the path of the hurricane, which pounded the ship with 35-foot seas and 100-mile-per-hour winds. As the ship sailed into the outer bands of the storm about 5 hours prior to the sinking, its speed decreased, and it began to list to starboard due to severe weather and seas. In the last few hours of the voyage, the crew struggled to deal with a cascading series of events, any of which could have endangered the ship on its own. So this story is just, you know, broken cargo, hatchway, water pouring in, just a heartbreaking story that apparently, according to this NTSB report, was avoidable. This is another quote from Sumwalt. "Although the El Faro and its crew should never have found themselves in such treacherous weather, that ship was not destined to sink. If the crew had more information about the status of the hatches, how to best manage the flooding situation, and the ship's vulnerabilities in a sustained list where it's leaning over, the accident might have been prevented." So that's a very serious thing to say about the captain, because the captain is the ultimate authority on the ship. And people that I have interviewed over the 15 or so years I've been doing the ship report, the captain's rule really is the law. You know, people have said you just don't disobey the captain. There's a word for that. It's called mutiny. So the captain has a tremendous responsibility to know what is going on. And in this case, this person was ill-informed. Perhaps they felt pressured by the company. We don't know those answers. But for some reason, the captain chose to put the ship in a path that was very dangerous for it. So maybe we'll learn more about this at some point. That's the NTSB report. So it brings up a bunch of things. One of them is that you often hear people say that ships are safer at sea during a storm. That was one of the guiding philosophies of the captain of the replica, the Bounty. That's a sailing ship that also sank in a hurricane off the East Coast. The idea that the ship would be safer out in the ocean. That's true to a point, but in this case, when the conditions are just so severe that the ship can't handle it, then it's not a very good idea to take a ship out. And this is a story about a U.S. flagship, which received a lot of attention because it is a U.S. flag vessel. I'd recommend that you read a book called The Outlaw Sea by William Langwish. I believe he's a journalist. All about what goes on outside the 200-mile limit in a lot of these foreign flag vessels that are not well-maintained. The El Faro incident is not unusual, unfortunately. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.